True story. When I was in junior high school, 7th and 8th grade, Glassport Junior High School, South Allegheny School District. It was getting on towards the end of the year, and we had an assembly. Both 7th and 8th grade came together in the auditorium, listened to something the administration was telling us, I think, about the end of the year business. And as we were taking our seats, a young girl that I didn't know very well sat down in front of me, and she fluffed her skirt out as she sat down, and the skirt got caught up in the arm of the chair. I didn't know what to do. I didn't say anything at first. The assembly was over, and they said we could go, and when she stood up, for some reason, somehow, her skirt stayed stuck up in the air. And so, being a nice guy, I wanted to save her some embarrassment, and I told her that her skirt was stuck up in the air, and you could see her unmentionables. She flipped right out on me. She was so embarrassed and mad at me, and I couldn't understand it. She walked away just mad as a wet hen. Well, we had lunch, and we went outside, as we always did, and all of us students, we hung around right outside the school. I went out there, and all of a sudden, I get pinned up against the wall by this huge fella named John Leshnock. John was a bad dude. He was rough, strong as an ox, and mean. He was the schoolyard bully, no doubt. And John said, "That was my cousin you embarrassed." And I tried to explain it to him. I was just trying to be nice. And he says, "That was my cousin. Now I got to hurt you." And just when he was about to hit me, somebody stepped in between us. Somebody who was smaller than me or John, but somebody who had also failed a couple of grades and he was older than us. Somebody who was a juvenile delinquent. Somebody everybody was scared to death of, and that was Joey Jobes. And he stepped in between us, and he looked at John, and he said, "You leave Bruce alone." John backed up and said, "Yes, sir," and walked away. Joey and I hung out together at school for the rest of the year. He liked me. I liked Joey, even though him and my dad had all kind of trouble between them, because my dad was a police chief at Port View, and Joey was come from a broken home, was just a troublemaker. But Joey liked me. And when we got towards the end of the year, Joey told me, he said, "I don't want you to hang around with me anymore. I'm not good for you. I'm nothing but trouble. Stay away from me." That was the end of that for me and Joey. But while Joey was around, I tell you, I felt safe. I felt safe. I knew he would protect me from the bullies. There was another fellow in my life who I felt safe around. Actually, my parents, both of them. It was like I could do no wrong. I was the golden child, just ask my siblings. They loved me dearly, and even when I messed up, I always felt safe. You know, not only was Dad a policeman, he was a big fellow like me, and made me feel safe. And there are people in the church, some people in the church, a few people in the church around whom I feel safe. Safe. In other words, I can be who I want to be. You know me, I like to goof around, I like to have fun, I love to make people smile. I can be real off the wall sometimes. I have some weird ideas about things, conspiracy theorists. But no matter where I go or what I'm doing, if we're having a cookout, if I've dropped in to visit you, if I'm at the hospital, church picnic, whatever, I'm always on. I'm always the pastor. I've got to be careful. Watch what I say. Watch what I do. But with some people, I can feel safe. Even if I were to stumble and say the stupid thing, you know, the wrong thing, be okay. They say, you're just human. Don't worry about it. They just love me the way I am. And you know who I'm talking about. We all know people like that. I've got people in my life that I feel safe around. It's good to feel safe. That's our word for the day, safe. S-A-F-E. A safe is something you put your valuables in and you shut it up and lock it. Nobody can get at your valuables. Somebody who makes you feel safe is somebody who comes between you and the bullies. And they prevent the bullies from getting to you. And this world is full of bullies, isn't it? We all know them too. People who pick on other people. People who look down their nose, who make fun of, who belittle, who mistreat others, who are racist, who are selfish and greedy and mean and nasty, who gossip and they pick on you with their tongue, they pick on you with their fists, make fun of you, bullies. And then there's other bullies in the world. There it's the bully of life, the sin and sickness, disease, natural disasters, things that would hurt us. All kinds of bullies in life. But there is one who keeps us safe from all of those too. Somebody who protects us, who loves us, who has given us spiritual principles to live by so that we can be safe. His name is the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one who gave his life for us, who shed his blood for us. Jesus said time and time again to his disciples, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Come on. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm here to protect you. I will take care of you, Jesus says. And he gets between us and the bullies of the world. And why does he do that? Well, he loves us, sure. But he wants us to be the best that we can be for him. And if we're always afraid, if we're always worrying, well, we can't be the best that we can be for God. And God wants us to be the best. God wants to bless us. God wants us to receive what he has for us. So we've got to quit being afraid. And that brings me to what I'm going to give you right now. Scriptures. It's from a lesson put together by Donald Bartow. B-A-R-T-O-W. Donald Bartow. Adventures in Healing. How to appropriate God's blessings. I'm going to share these scriptures with you. I'm going to give you the title of each section. Share it with you quickly. So you might want to write this down. It's good stuff. And I'll have this put into a bulletin later too. So buckle up, because here we go. How to receive God's blessings. First, seek guidance. Number one, seek guidance. Seek the direction of the Holy Spirit. Seek guidance. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life to guide you as you begin to prepare yourself to receive what God has for you. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit will guide us if we ask. So seek guidance, number one. Number two, give thanks. Give thanks to God for what he has already done for you and your loved ones. Give thanks to God. Thank God for what the one in need has already meant to you. Thank God that he was there with you through good times and bad. and count your many blessings. So give thanks is number two. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number three, forgive. Forgive. You want God's blessings, you have to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you've cut yourself off from God's blessings. Oh, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But God has special blessings in store for his children. But if you refuse to forgive those who have hurt you, then you've just cut yourself off from God. And we pray it every Sunday, right? Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it says there in Matthew 6 that if you don't forgive others, then God, your Father, will not forgive you. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. So do everything you can to be at peace with everybody else. Number four, determine what the need is. Determine what the need is. And I'll tell you, I'm guilty of this. You know, I pray these popcorn prayers, I call them. I pray in generalities. And that's okay to pray in generalities. You know, enough of us add our prayers together, we can pray for the victims of the hurricane. And I believe that that has some effect. But when we begin to believe, when we begin to pray for people who are in nursing homes, when we begin to pray for people who need electricity because of some health situation, when we begin to pray for the police who have been left behind to keep law and order, when we get specific about our needs, that the doctor said I have this disease and I'm praying about this disease, instead of just praying for good health, I'm praying for a healing for this particular disease. Making our needs known is more powerful and more effective. So determine what your need is. Matthew 18:19 says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of his Father, of our Father who is in heaven. Number five, relinquish. That's not a word we hear a lot, right? Relinquish. R-E-L-I-N-Q-U-I-S-H. Relinquish. Relinquish your life into God's hands. You hear me pray that all the time for the offering. That it's just the tip of the iceberg, that it represents everything that we have and we are. But I'm serious about that. God is serious about that. We are to give our lives into God's hands. Jesus said we have to love him more than we love anything else in this whole world. The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto us. So we have to relinquish, cast all our cares upon him and trust in him because he cares for us if we want God's blessings. Luke chapter 5 verse 37 says, and no man puts new wine into old bottles, or the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles will perish. The old man, the old way we've done things and lived our lives, we cannot receive the Holy Spirit. We've got to repent of those sins. We've got to let go of those old lives and trust in God. We've got to give it all to God so that we can become new creatures in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Number six is be open to God. Be open to God. Be willing. God, I am open to you. I am willing to be led by your Spirit. Invite Jesus to come into your heart to live in your life while you wait for God's best. Revelation 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Number seven is picture the best. These are so important. Picture the best. Make a picture in your mind of what it is that God has for you, what it is that you're praying for. See, that's called faith. We dwell so much on the negative. We dwell so much on the dark clouds in our lives. We dwell so much on the pain and the suffering. That's where our faith is at. We need to dwell on the positive. We need to remember whose we are. That when God first created us, we lived in a garden where there was no pain or suffering, no disease. So picture the best that God has for you. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as a person thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, said he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Picture it. Positive attitude. Number 8, expect the best. Expect it. It really bothers me about the people in our society who have a sense of entitlement. And they think that they are owed everything. Without having to earn it or work for it or even ask for it, they think we should just give it to them because they're entitled. They live in this country. I just think that's wrong. Our kids have a sense of entitlement. They need to learn to earn what they want, to work for it. That way they will appreciate it. As children of Almighty God, we're entitled, but in a good way. We can expect the best because our Father, our Abba, our God, our Creator, is the Lord God Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth, the author and sustainer of life, the giver of immortal gladness. And He loves us. We can expect the best. You deserve it. You can expect it because of what Jesus Christ did for us, because you've asked Him into your heart. You can expect the best in life. Number 9, rest in God. Learn to abide in God, to relax, to be still and know that He is Lord. When the drama mounts in your life and there is turmoil and the noise and the cries are so loud and you are so distracted, take a deep breath and rest in God. Be still and know that He is God, that He's in charge, that this world is not our home. Number 10, turn to God. Turn to God. We all mess up. We all fall off the wagon. We all go our separate ways sometimes. We walk away from God. Sin is what separates us from God. Turn to God. Repent. Come back to God. If you've fallen off the wagon, it's okay. Get back on. Doesn't matter how many times it happens. Turn to God. Be the prodigal son. Luke 15, verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." So repent, turn to God. And then last, number 11, trust. Trust that God has been leading you throughout the years. Trust that Romans 8:28 has been true all your life. That we know that in everything God works for good with those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. God has been orchestrating your life, has a plan and a purpose for us. Trust that it is God who is at work in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, "And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And when we trust that God has been active in our lives, when we trust that God is active in our life, when we trust that God will be active in our life, we experience His presence. And just as God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day when He created them, that's what God wants to do with us now. He wants to have this fellowship with us. He loves us. He wants to hang with us. He wants us to trust Him because He loves us. Spiritual principles to appropriate God's blessings for us, to receive them, to get out of all the mucky muck of the world and to be in the place where we can enjoy God's blessings. Because God wants to bless us. And he surely does. After we've walked with the Lord, after we've lived by the Spirit long enough, you won't have to think about these things. It'll just be automatic, the way it's supposed to be. It's a journey. A journey of health and wholeness. It's a journey in which God wants to stand between you and the bullies of your life. And he wants to say to those bullies, leave that person alone. Leave him or her alone. They belong to me. So be safe. Turn to the one who will keep you safe. Turn to Jesus. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing.